Hey everybody, Dr. Tom Moorcroft back here with you for this episode of the Healing from Lyme Disease Summit. And today, this is another amazing interview I'm super psyched for because I've got my buddy Cheng Ron here. He's an MD medical doctor who has been really at the forefront of brain health in all kinds of its aspects. From, you know, recovering from dementias and other kind of weird stuff in terms of seeing patterns in one's brain with things like Lyme and mold toxins. We've previously talked about mast cell activation. It's an important and its importance and in all the structures in the face and the body that are related to that. So we've got a lot to talk about today. And not only is he one of these guys who's on the forefront of helping patients with this and coming on here, sharing on summits, but he also does a lot of teaching of physicians in all different aspects of providing medical care so we can actually continue to have really awesome physicians available for you guys. And for those of us who are healthcare practitioners, he's one of the guys who helps us all not get all burnt out and everything. So Dr. Ron, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really excited to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because as an osteopath, I love the brain. I love the structure and function of everything. And my goal always is to really reignite self-healing in someone who's been having some challenges. So one of the things that I'm always interested in, though, is like, you know, how does one just kind of end up being like this super brain specialist who's like doing QEEGs and helping to really put... You know, for me, one of the, as you know so well, the people who we see very commonly are like, the medical system says, oh, no, you really don't have what you think you have. And your tests, oh, they're false, you know, positives or whatever. But when you can actually look in someone's brain or at the functionality of it, that's just next level to me. But what even, you know, going backwards for a second, what would even get one interested in that kind of medicine? And how'd you get here?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think so much of brain health and mental health goes unanswered. There's not great pharmaceuticals for it in both brain health and mental health. In reality, it's all one thing. And I think there's a cry for help within the medical system to find some answers there, right? And I got into this kind of accidentally. I started Texas Center for Lifestyle Medicine in 2017, and we're one of the few integrative and functional medicine practices that take medical insurance. And all of a sudden I was getting all these people on Medicare and coming in, and they spent literally sometimes like hundreds of thousands of dollars just on their health and kind of getting nowhere. And what's really interesting is they all have very similar things in common, which I'm going to talk about. And it's really appropriate for this discussion behind chronic Lyme. Is this relationship between not just the brain, but whatever carries the brain, the cranium, the sinuses, the teeth, the periodontal space, and how that really contributes to deteriorating mental and brain health, chronic Lyme, mold toxicity, mast cell activation, mm-hmm. and all of these different things that were big question marks for a lot of people, even functional medicine docs. There's patterns that are there. And I ended up getting into quantitative EEGs after getting a proposal from the VA hospital here to look at PTSD, what that looks like on the brain. And that just took me into a whole other dimension, which we'll unravel today.
That's amazing. You know, and that is kind of interesting because I think I hear a lot of people just like, hey, you can't do it without insurance, man. It's too hard. So to be someone who always, you know, and whatever the topic is, I can imagine that outside of just your medical practice, you're the same way and working with patients, like there's no answer. So I'm going to figure it out. There's no, there's just a way to have it happen that someone else make it happen that someone hasn't thought about. Which is what I love about the way you approach patients. So just, I mean, so good, brother.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, I think the key here is collaboration, right? Because, you know, as a doctor, it's more important for us to learn rather than teach. It's more important for us to get something out of the life lessons that every patient has walked down the path. And that's what I'm able to kind of collect. You know, I joke to people, I'm a story collector, and everyone's stories has a tremendous amount of impact on my development, develop my entire staff here at Texas Center for Lifestyle Medicine, and moving forward, and my students in my coaching curriculum with the doctors as well. And I think that this concept of collaboration, while it's sort of a no-brainer to collaborate, there's some things that we really have to think outside the box that no one's thinking about. Very few people are thinking about. For example, you know, connecting, especially in chronic Lyme, between dental and neurology is absolutely crucial for anyone with chronic Lyme issues and chronic fatigue.
So as we start to kind of talk about this a little more, I mean, where's the natural jumping off point? I mean, because like, I think I love QEEGs. I love what we're learning about it. And I love understanding the impact. I mean, do we start back at the facial structure, or do you want to start with, you know, because I think we could do it either way. And I think that this is just such an important topic to pick the right place to start.
Yeah, let's just talk about anatomy first, you know, and I'll kind of dive right into it, right?
Yeah, this is crazy ass guy called Andrew Taylor Still, who's this osteopathic dude who started this whole profession. He just goes anatomy, anatomy, anatomy. He's like, start with the anatomy. And then once you know it, you put it down and you go treat the people in the clinic. So I think that Dr. Still would be very proud of our MD friend here.
Oh, good. Well, you know, my mother's an acupuncturist in Chinese medicine, so this is where we start kind of as well, you know.
Right, cool.
So let's start with the anatomy and then get into function and get into biochemistry, right? So let's kind of define chronic Lyme and chronic fatigue really quickly, right? It's a state where someone has something that's abnormal, and that something that's abnormal probably might have been abnormal the entire lives, but then something comes along to kick our butts, and then we develop, you know, chronic Lyme or chronic COVID or chronic mold and stuff like that. And so instead of calling it, you know, a disease that's by a specific trigger, like an organism, let's call it an abnormality in function. An abnormality function actually starts in utero. So let's actually talk about the embryology anatomy. So this is going to sound really crazy for those of you who don't know embryology, but in utero, when the fetus is being born, our face technically starts in the very back of our head. And we start as a cell, it turns into a tube. And as we grow in utero, our face literally forms like this in the womb, right? And that's how embryos develop, mammalian embryos develop. So this formation right here is absolutely crucial. So there's some diseases that's associated with not full formation, cleft lip, cleft palate, et cetera, et cetera. But even the ones that are fully formed, what happens is we come out as babies and our entire skull structure, which surrounds our brain, right? Is designed as an entire system to support the functionality of the brain. And so our skull, our cranium, has structure within it. It's not just about the bones. It's about the covering. There's something called a dura mater, which is tough mother. The tough mother literally surrounds our brain. And just underneath that, you have other structures that supply nutrients and blood flow to the brain. All that is literally contiguous, okay, with the lining of our entire skull and sinus cavities, right? And so there's other structures that go below that. And then it's contiguous with our gums and our teeth, right? And so if you think about it, the quickest way of entry point of anything external to the brain is through breathing and is through the mouth, okay? And so that's the shortest distance from an anatomical standpoint. And so what happens then is that when we're born, as we develop, the skull development is also depends on what happens during birth and right after birth. So if the baby is to term, great. If the baby is preterm, then there may be some abnormalities that can develop. But if the baby is term, then raising the child is crucially important at this point. And so I was on my summit, the Reverse Brain Disorder Summit, I interviewed Dr. Felix Liao, who wrote many books about this. His latest one is called Your Child's Best Face. Talks about the development from when you're born to when you're a teenager is that your jaw is supposed to be challenged with solid foods. You're supposed to bring in air through the nasal cavity. But what happens is in current generations, our skulls have changed quite a bit over the last 200 years. The structure of our skulls is no longer challenged as much as it was before because there's more softer foods, processed foods. So as that develops, our brains are getting bigger, but our sinus cavities, our palates becoming narrower and smaller. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the few mammals that develop this this issue. And therefore, it relates to everything in life. It relates to why their infertility rates are going up. It relates to why men's testosterone go down at the age of 30. It relates to why puberty and menopause are actually getting earlier now, okay? It actually has to do with the way that we actually have impairment in chewing and developing your jaws and breathing. And because of that, even the smallest amount of toxins can really trigger us. If you're exposed to mold, exposed to Lyme, then our mechanisms of detoxification from those organisms are much less compared to before, just from an anatomical point of view. We haven't even gotten into the functional and biochemical point of view, but just from an anatomical point of view. And this is true for a lot of humans. How many humans? At least 1 in 10, but at the most 1 in 4, I would say. And so what's happening here is that we now label these humans to have different diseases, right? In children, we call them ADHD. In adults, we call them early cognitive decline or memory loss, and maybe even Alzheimer's later on, right? We call these things bipolar disorder. We call these things anxiety and depression. We call them PTSD. We have different names for the manifestations as what's really going on, which is our ability to breathe normally, to chew, has become become deteriorated. And that also relates to bruxism, which is basically teeth clenching and grinding, right? And that relates to enamel wear, that relates to snoring, sleep apnea, et cetera, is because it's becoming more and more common. And the modern day humans that we have currently right now is a different anatomical structure than it was just 250 years ago. It hasn't been that much time in terms of human evolution, but that's what we're seeing right now.
It's crazy too, you know, Chang, because it's like you look at it and you're just like, wow, these are simple, normal neurodevelopmental things that just are not happening. And it's like, I just think about it. It's like, yeah, our skull is compliant, but it's not that compliant. It's not like this squishy brain can just make it grow. I mean, we have to chew and breathe properly and use our tongue properly to grow the face. One of the things that I want to point out for folks too is how important this all is. My daughter, when she was like 3.5 or 4, was every time she fell asleep, would sweat, whether she was upright, lying down, or whatever. And, you know, everybody's like, hey, Tommy, your Lyme doctor, she has babesia. She has babesiosis because she's sweating. I'm like, well, I never met a person who only has babesia when they sleep. And as an osteopath, I dug deeper. And thankfully, I know, you know, we've researched some of the same stuff. We were able to get a functional dental appliance in her. And literally that day, all the sweat stopped. And what's so interesting to me is it's not just the anatomy, but it's the interaction of the anatomy with the neurological loops. So what's going on in terms of like, because you had mentioned, Chang, the hormones.
Yeah.
You've mentioned testosterone, and when I think of adrenals, I think of even bruxism, like people, what they're doing, they're their TMJ and all the cortisol that's getting jacked up. So, but what's going on when your brain is in a cavity that's a little too small? Because I want to go back to the effects on the air and all that stuff, because that's important too. But what's going on with that? I mean, like biochemically with the brain when it's in a smaller container than it's designed to be in.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure if it's smaller per se. But the airway is smaller, but not the container itself is not smaller. So what I mean is that the flow of air supports our life. That's we've mm-hmm. known this for 5,000 years. You know, Chinese medicine, that's what qi is, right? You know, and if you're Polynesian, that's what mana is, right? In Ayurveda, that's prana, right? So you have different terms from different ancient civilizations, knowing that the breath actually provides life. Well, in modern day, the breath is best represented by a gas in our body called the nitric oxide. So we say, okay, well, breathing or chi flow is the term of a nitric oxide. Well, that kind of makes sense. You know, there's three gases in our body, oxygen, carbon dioxide, and nitric oxide. And nitric oxide allows the delivery and exchange of carbon dioxide and oxygen in all our tissues, our cells. It determines how much we contract our blood vessels, right? So for example, when someone has migraines, right, they have a sharp drop of nitric oxide happening for one reason or another. And then all of a sudden they have these spasms. And on their MRIs, you can see chronic spasms and calcifications. You know, we call it, radiologists call it non-specific patterns, which may correlate with chronic migraines or headaches. Well, those are actually active, like decreases in nitric oxide that's happening. So our chi flow goes down, our energetics goes down, bad things happen. So that's not surprising. So what's happening is that in modern day, the way that our sinuses are formed is that if we have sinuses that gets clogged up too readily, you can have cysts in there, you have really bad deviated septums, you can have mucus retention cysts that are in there. And these may be just from our environment, maybe from pollution, it may be from mold, it may be from COVID, right? Whatever it is, our body does a great job of sequestering these mechanisms, or these organisms within our own immune cells and the mucous membranes, right? So these areas get thickened. And so what's happening is that less airflow goes across these mucous membranes, which means less nitric oxide gets activated with, because that's how we activate most of our body's nitric oxide. The body senses that there's less air coming in. So in compensation, the brain tells this muscle right here called the masseter, right? Your chewing muscle to go like this, and tells your sternocleidomastoid, your scalenes, and the entire structure right here to lurch forward like this, just to get air in, okay? Mm-hmm. That can't happen during deep sleep. It actually can't happen during moderate sleep. You know, it'll happen only during wakeful phase and light sleep. So even children's sleep are being disrupted. This is where a lot of the ADHD stuff comes in, right? And people aren't relating the fact that, hey, my child has like grinding and maybe even some snoring at nighttime relating to mental health disorders. But this is exactly what's going on. And now there's, you can easily see if this is the case, just Google an airway dentist or a biological dentist, and they even have like CTs in their office that can actually look at your airway, sometimes in different positions, depending on which airway doctor you go to. You can see the millimeters that is restricted there. It's horrifying because I have a restricted airway myself, and so do all my daughters. And so what's happening here is that the restrictions in our airways, our sinuses, our tongue, our palate creates the inability to nasal breathe. So we're dependent upon oral breathing. Well, whenever you take a breath through the mouth, you can't activate nitric oxide. So this awesome gas that determines how much hormones you make, determines how much thyroid you activate, it determines your cortisol surges, all that goes completely bonkers, right? Because the brain is sensing there's a lack of air coming in through the nose. And so we see what these people actually look like, okay? And what they look like are people who may be having some dimpling in the chin. This is called the mentalis muscle right here. And sometimes they physically have to like move forward in dimples right here to get the jaw to move forward, like actively, but when they're sleeping, they can't do it, right? Some of these people, the neck is really forward, like mine is right now. The neck kind of goes a bit forward. They may be diagnosed. Some of the really severe ones are diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Well, what is fibromyalgia? It's chronic pain based on fascial constriction, allowing the air to open. Fibromyalgia literally is the compensation mechanism for the air to open, right? And they may be diagnosed with other chronic illnesses, chronic Lyme as well. And so what's happening here is that this mechanism wasn't fully developed, so it doesn't allow us to calm inflammation down. So our brain in turn creates this mechanism. And so I'm not saying that teeth grinding or bruxism is bad. I'm not saying that these structures are bad. What I'm saying is that if our brain didn't make us do that, we'd be dead. Okay, we'd be dead before 6 months old because the brain actually allows us to live and survive by having these compensation mechanisms. So these symptoms are actually warning signs of what's been happening and what's to come. And they're not necessarily bad in themselves. So I have a problem when people are getting Botox injections in the TMJ to release the TMJ issues, because you just knocked out your compensation mechanism. There's nothing wrong with Botox doing there, but you have to like figure out what else is going on, right? Same thing with Botox for migraines. So this is where our friends in acupuncture and chiropractic is just so important, right? Our osteopathic friends, right? This is where our dental friends and orthodontists really come in and say, hey, there's something going on. Let's try to analyze the rest of the body's structures so that we can kind of reverse this. And there are things to actually reverse it.
It's so interesting to me, Chang, because I mean, we talk a lot about root cause medicine, and then a lot of times we skip over the anatomy part, which is kind of funny how we started talking about this kind of, I was like, where are we going here? I know exactly where we need to go, you know, but it's what is fibromyalgia telling us about what's going on? It's not that we don't treat those symptoms, but it's like, what's underneath of it?
Yeah. And this, the anatomical part leads into the functional part, which leads into the biochemical part. So this is something I learned recently also from Dr. Felix Liao. And as well as Dr. Gerald Simmons here in Houston. He's a fantastic triple board certified neurologist. And this is interesting. So my second daughter had amazingly large tonsils. And what I used to think, this is what I was taught in school, is that, hey, some people just have large tonsils, you know, something that can cause obstructive sleep apnea, like in the case of my daughter. And being a functional medicine dad and being a son to a mother who's Chinese medicine, you know, the decision to take her tonsils out was not an easy one, because we really tried everything to kind of improve that, right? But we didn't. But what's happening here is that the reason that the tonsils were enlarged is because she is one of those people with the chin retracted back, trying to keep her airway open, always mouth breathing. And the mouth breathing actually creates chronic inflammation in the entire airway. So it's not just the tonsils that's inflamed, okay? You can also have inflamed gums. And people who are older tend to have like chronically receding gum lines. Some people were saying, oh, you know, I brush my teeth like 2 to 3 times a day. I floss. My gum disease is always bad. Well, you're a mouth breather. And so that air coming through disallows the production of nitric oxide. So this is interesting. So I learned this from Nathan Bryan, who's sort of the master of all nitric oxide. And he says that when people have gum disease, sinus disease, all the nitric oxide is being sequestered in the area to deal with the localized inflammation. Same thing with COVID. When someone gets COVID, same thing. All the nitric oxide is being sequestered. So if you're one of those people who can't make nitric oxide very easily, right? And which basically are all mouth breathers, right? And so if you're one of those people who can't make nitric oxide very easily, then even the small amount of nitric oxide is being sequestered by these organisms. And worse, if you're one of those people who uses like Listerine or Scope, right? So those things actually deplete your nitric oxide even more. And so those people who are brushing and flossing, using Listerine and Scope, trying to get rid of the periodontal disease, it's just making it worse, because it's actually knocking out the body's mechanisms for the nitric oxide production. And that has huge manifestations, because we know, and for example, people with Alzheimer's dementia, post-mortem studies, they cut into the brain, the little plaque. So you can actually see P. gingivalis in there from the gum disease. You can see spirochetes that look like Lyme, but they're not really Lyme. They're spirochetes in the periodontal disease that are in there. And we see that there's sort of this dental brain connection that's there. And that's really important, honestly, to work with dentists to clear that up, especially of chronic Lyme, because chronic Lyme is Borrelia, right? It's still spirochetes. And so if you're being attacked by multiple organisms at once, you have to optimize a thing that you really can't optimize. And that's where, you know, the anatomical goes into function, goes into biochemical.
Yeah, I think it's so critical what you just said, is like optimize what you can optimize, right? I might not be able to immediately get rid of a spirochete, but I can immediately make changes that will improve things like nitric oxide in my body and stuff. Right. So what are you guys doing? I mean, clearly you're working very closely with your functional dentists and orthodontics and stuff, but how's this all look when somebody comes into the office and gets evaluated? Like, you know, how's this whole part start, you know?
Well, honestly, I look at what I'm walking into and I see this long history of a lot of chronic autoimmune diseases, hormone disruptions, chronic pain, insomnia or hypersomnia, which is sleeping too much. The first thing I notice is that when I walk into a room, how they're actually greeting me. Half the people with these things, they're turning their entire upper torso to say, "Hey, Dr. Ron," instead of turning their neck, because they actually have locked in their entire upper airway to keep their airway open at nighttime for such a long time. And then I see them talk, I see them move. And it's interesting because people don't realize when they're talking, I'm analyzing the entire structure. How are they sitting? Are they sitting like this on one side? And when they're standing up, is one shoulder higher than the other, right? And then there's a physical exam where I actually palpate the different tender points right here. And I know exactly when people have been protecting their airway for most of their lives, right? Which is actually most people with multiple autoimmune diseases and infections and all the stuff like that as well. And so so the most important thing to know is that a lot of people who kind of go down and pursue this path, and they've had the best diet, they've had the best supplements, they did the most awesome detoxes, infrared sauna, ozone, you know, everything out, right? They've done everything. And somehow things aren't working. It's because no one's really addressed the airway. Mm. Airway is still like number one. So in our clinic, we obsess about the airway first, you know, it's because we have to have some way of improving that airway. And nowadays there's a whole category of airway health that's out there right now. And there's airway dentists, there's airway orthodontists, there's airway licensed massage therapist, physical therapist, there's airway myofunctional therapist or functional myologist. There's all sorts of different categories in that space right now to improve that. And let's not forget ENTs. Ear, nose, throat surgeons are crucial because they need to look at the sinuses as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think, this is all really put together in the book Breath by James Nestor. It's a wonderful book to right. look at if you want to nerd out. But more importantly, what we have found in our clinic is that we do brain mapping with this technology called a quantitative EEG analysis. So we literally have before and afters of airway treatment, airway appliances, mandibular advancement devices, CPAP, you name it. We have before and afters of kids getting palate expansions, right? You can see the brain just start balancing. All these ADD, ADHD markers, they just go away, you know? And right. and the elderly, a lot of there's memory improvements, there's mood improvements, and all these different things when you're able to breathe. And you know, and it's not just about what someone can do for you. There's things you can do yourself for breath work as well. There's all sorts of different breath techniques, which I'm not gonna go into right now. But there's all sorts of different breath techniques in mind body medicine, Tai Chi, Qigong. There's German practices, there's Chinese practices. There's Hawaiian practices, and they all look very similar to each other, is because civilizations have figured this out over a long period of time, how to optimize the actual airway to change your neurochemistry, to change your balance, to change your biochemistry, to change your neurotransmitters, to change your hormones, right? Mm-hmm. And so breath work and breathing is free. That's the other thing. It's cheap, right? And breath work is so important as a fundamental principle of this. It's actually more important to me than diet is. You got to optimize breath before going to the whole diet thing also. And so, you know, there's a lot there to airway health that we really have to look at and focus on. And I do think this is the part that's actually missing in functional medicine teaching.
You know, I just like put the mic drop, dude. I wish I had, this one wasn't on a big stand, because breathing and breath is so important. And we're blessed. We have Patrick McEwen, who teaches Buteyko breathing. shared an incredible interview with us. And, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of experiences for everybody during the thing, because breath work is near and dear to my heart for health optimization, recovery, airway development. And so, but it's interesting though, because a friend of mine is going to join us, and just, he studied with Wim Hof. He's going to do a little, you know, thing on one evening. But what's really interesting about the whole thing to me is when you read Nestor's book, as you mentioned, he's, you know, Wim didn't make this stuff up. No. It's coming, like you said, from these ancient traditions of people who, you know, notice that. And what was that? A lot of Native American, both in all of the, you know, North, Central, and South America, would have different approaches to teaching their babies the habits of having their mouths closed. So they became nasal breathers and not mouth breathers. This is ancient wisdom that Dr. Ron is sharing with you guys right now. This is nothing new, but we're now understanding the importance here. And even like when you're saying you can see a change on a brain map, this is like, you know, EEG technology is saying before and after I see a change. Like I can actually show you that your brain is working better because you're breathing better. I mean, and like you said, insurance doesn't cover breathing, but it's also free, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, actually insurance does cover breathing. So we actually
do good point.
Yeah, we actually do medical breath exercises for all sorts of different disease states in brain. Insurance actually does cover that.
You're like the only person I know. It's like, hey, I'm going to do a breath work program. Wait, there's got to be a way to get that covered because it's medically necessary. And like, so inspiring, man.
Well, here's the thing. You know, one of the things about medical insurance is that you have to prove that it's medically necessary. So the previous data we actually support showed on the brain mapping, the quantitative EEG, that people were improving, and it correlated with clinical data. So the insurance companies were seeing that we're decreasing the actual risk of these patients year after year because they're actually getting better, right? And so we basically use that and ask the actual data submitted to insurance for justification of the things that we actually curate for the patients. And so now we're doing it on a national level. Before it was just us here in Texas, but now we're doing it on the national level, which is what I do with my physician groups. Yeah.
It's so good because this is the critical piece of not sticking with the status quo. And I think a lot of the folks that we talk about in our summit and a lot of our people who've been sort of on the forefront, you know, the people pushing the boundaries in line, pushing the boundaries in mold, standing up for the patients. But then it's like, sometimes we get so disease oriented with all this and we need the pioneers in line. We need the pioneers in mast cell activation. But then there's this crazy, like the pioneers of just overall functional health and making it accessible. Because like, if you can get to, you know, just think about access to care. Like I was just interviewing someone earlier today, in fact, who was saying, hey, they're on the board with the Limelight Foundation. Beautiful. Helps people get, you know, money who can't afford it for proper diagnosis and treatment. But wouldn't it be nice if ultimately what we did was we got people to have their insurance cover the things that were so just a human right to them, like the right to learn how to breathe in a more natural, holistic way that's going to open this all up. And like you mentioned COVID, it just, you know, you got me on this rant now. It's like, you know, because you're the guy out there making this happen while other people says it can't. But it's like in COVID, I mean, one of the biggest things to turn off COVID-induced inflammation is this whole nitric oxide thing. Yeah. Well, we all know how to fix that. It's called breathing.
Yeah.
If you do it correctly. But we weren't given that out. We're giving them Paxlovid and those other baloney. But anyway, enough of my diatribe. I'm just so passionate about this and I'm just so inspired whenever we talk that you never say quit and you find a way to get it in front of the masses, which is what really needs to happen. So
yeah. You know what's interesting, Tom, is that the CDC even put out a breath guide that was created by, I think it's BU or I forget, somewhere in the New England area. And there's a whole like breath guide for chronic post COVID fatigue syndrome, right? And you just don't hear about it, right? It's just not, I guess it's not sexy enough for media to really take a hold of it. But actually, it's out there. There's even breath guides for for veterans with PTSD, concussive injuries. It's actually all out there. So it's very interesting. It's just that we don't really hear about it because one, it is not a quick fix, and because it takes a lot of practice, right? And two, it's so variable for a lot of people as well. You know, some people haven't taken a deep breath in like 20 years because, you know, when people take a deep breath, you're supposed to expand your belly and not your chest. But most people, when I tell them to take a deep breath, they're like,
you know, they suck. Yeah, you don't need to lift your shoulders like this either.
Exactly. And so some people haven't done that before. And whenever you actually take soft belly breaths, you actually feel big changes in there. But let's go kind of go back and tie it together with Lyme, right? So if, you know, Lyme disease, and if we go back to tick bites for a second, let's say that, and we all know there's people walking around with Lyme disease and they're just fine. They probably have multiple tick bites and they're totally cool, right? Mm-hmm. So why some and not others, right? And so whenever your body is exposed to an organism like a spirochete organism like Borrelia, our body's immune response is always the same. It's similar. It's very similar to people's exposure to viruses like Epstein-Barr chronically. What we know from COVID is that COVID almost looked like acute Lyme, right? Where it's like, boom, it's like it knocks you out, right? And it's because it arms two different parts of the immune response, immune system. And so if you're one of those people who have had, you know, chronic mouth breathing or maybe obstructive sleep apnea or something, and your airway is not patent and you only have like this nitric oxide reserve that's left and you're thriving and you're doing your thing, whenever you get hit with spirochete like Lyme disease, right? You may be able to deal with it at the time, okay? But what happens is even after the Lyme goes away, your body is primed. So this priming mechanism, this immune response, primes other arms of the immune system. So, and this is actually for survival. This is that, you know, your body remembers. There's a good book called The Body Keeps a Score that actually talks about chemical traumas, infectious traumas, and even psychological traumas like PTSD. Your body primes all three mm-hmm. in a very similar way. Your immune system primes all in a very similar way. And so so whenever your body is primed to do this, on top of that, you get hit with stress. And a lot of people with Lyme disease, they can't find a doctor that'll see them. They don't have any answers. So you get hit with medical PTSD, right? Or medical trauma in general. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you deal with family and the family is just having a hard time working with you. You may deal with the resentment from other family members. And then you have a relationship PTSD, right? And then you may be hit with prescriptions in the field of psychiatry. Let's say you get hit with antidepressants, you get hit with steroids or something like that. So everything compounds and then you get into what's called polypharmacy when you're taking too much stuff. And then after that, you're like, you know what? I don't want to take medicine. I'll take some supplements. And all of a sudden you get hit with like 20 and 30 different supplements, right? And so what happens is that the trauma compounds and your body just keeps the score. Your body's like, yep, check, prime, and go. And ultimately that in itself creates a tremendous amount of trauma and immune mechanism priming within the body. But the answer to all that is we really have to respect the mindfulness, the meditative process, you know, to get to the root of all that, heal relationships, have conversations. And this is why I'm super, super happy to be on the summit, is because this conversation is exactly what's needed for the healing environment.
I totally agree. And I, you know, that's why like I reach out, because it's like, I know we can talk about QEEGs. I know we can talk about insurance coverage. I know we can talk about like changing the physical structure of the face. But when it goes back to people who are able to do all that and they have all those tools, but their number one message is go back to something that's so unique and innate to you as breathing, learn to do it correctly. And then also has research and understands that this is not unique to North America. It's not unique to Denmark. This is unique to humanity. And every culture that I've ever studied, and I'm, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, has their version of optimal breathing because it's such a critical piece.
Yeah. And the versions are actually quite similar. They're just little variations here and there, you know. And I'm Buddhist, and even within my culture, it's so similar to everything. And I mean, you can study breathwork for 20 years and not finish also. So it's you can get started easily, but there's a whole deepness level into the idea of what, you know, breathing is really supposed to be. But I think right now it's crucial for the people kind of listening to this and trying to look for answers is that if, you know, you're going to be spending a lot of money buying supplements or devices or anything like that, but then you're sleeping like 3 hours a night and you're surfing on the internet all night trying to look for answers, it doesn't do any good. That amount of stress, and in fact just the pixelated light from the computers literally is creating a lot of detriment in your circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. And the energetics behind all that is vibrating at such a high frequency that the healing mechanism is very difficult. And I say energetics and high frequency because that's literally what we measure on the brain maps. So we have you hooked up to electrodes and figure out what frequencies you're at whenever you're doing stuff, your eyes open, your eyes closed, pushing buttons. It's like a stress test for the brain, right? So we can figure out like where you are based on the patterns of what's going on. And sometimes I just have to call it out. I say, hey, there seems to be like a lot of trauma, perhaps psychological trauma, emotional trauma, in combination with chemical trauma, with combination with infectious trauma, right? And usually it's all three by the time patients hit us, right? But it's so hard to treat somebody when they're not necessarily bought into the process of that healing mindset. The healing mindset, you know, absolutely has to be there, and it can't be a lonely journey. It can't, you know, you can't just isolate yourself and push everyone away and try to be on the healing process. It's a collective journey. We're tribal organisms, we're tribal creatures.
Dude, so spot on, man. My heart is just singing because that's like my mission too, and like where I'm coming from. So, you know, there are so many different pieces that we could nerd out and geek out on. I just think that like what you just said is like the most important highlight, right? And it's really, it's that getting back in touch with your heart and really knowing that it's within you. And there's a community of people who can help support you. So as we kind of round everything out, are there any other things that you're thinking about in all this vast amount of work you do coming at it from, I mean, you know, it's funny because like I was about to say, because it's like we get trained in one way, right? And it's just like, if it's not kind of within the box, everybody's like, you're thinking you need to think outside of the box. But this is, I mean, you know, we've spent a little bit of time together at some conferences and stuff. I mean, this is like your life. It's not just like, you don't just say this on the summit and go home and do whatever. I mean, this is how this guy lives. So from all that experience, both as a physician, as a father, as a husband, as someone who's living this way, are there any other pieces that we just haven't touched on that maybe people with chronic Lyme or mold exposure really need to know about so they can feel hopeful that they can get better too?
Yeah, and I've kind of set this on the histamine and mast cell activation summit, and I want to kind of repeat it here, okay? There's this misconception, and me and you have talked about this as well, and so I know you agree. There's this misconception that a human body can be potentially allergic or intolerant to the vast amount of food, okay? Or vast amount of smells or chemicals and stuff like that. And there's now this term called multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome that's out there that correlates with mast cell activation syndrome. So I just want to break this down really simply for the people listening to this. Okay. Mast cells are a gift. Chemical sensitivities are a gift. It makes you into a sentinel. A sentinel means that you're sensing that there's something that's not right. Now, in every tribal group, there are a set of sentinels with a specific genes. These genes are what's called methylation genes. So all the stuff that you hear about genomes right now of poor methylators or people who can't activate nitric oxide, yada, yada, yada. Well, no, those are actually superpowers. There's nothing wrong with those genes. It's just that sometimes the tribe doesn't really listen to this person, right? And so the sentinels of each tribe have these specific set of genes, which we now calling it, oh my gosh, you know, MTHFR or whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? But in reality, what's going on is that the people with these genes are actually on alert mode that there's something that's not right. And so if you're sensing that there's something that's not right in your body and things becomes sensitive, you have to take it upon yourself to just pause and say, hey, something's not right. And that something not right is not the food that you eat necessarily. It's not, you know, the parabens, you know, it's not necessarily just the mold. All those contribute. And a lot of times it's actually your daily environment that you're in. It could be your relationships. It could be some habits you're doing, like doing a lot of screen time at nighttime. That's really disrupting your sleep, right? Or it could be your airway, like we talk about this whole time. And so if you're not focusing on breath and mindfulness and meditation and utilizing the power of your mind to calm it down, your mast cells will always go up. So what is the quickest way to decrease mast cells? Actually, it's nitric oxide. Nitric oxide suppresses histamine, right? And so nitric oxide is made through breath work. It's made through nasal breathing, right? It's made through exercise and movement. It's made through watching the sunrise, you know? That's how nitric oxide is actually made. It's made through human touch and relationships. You actually literally can upregulate your endogenous nitric oxide through human touch and relationships, right? Mm. And so those are the things to really focus on is the primary focus of being a human is existing with the environment. And a lot of times people with multiple chemical sensitivities, well, who are these people? These people tend to be caregivers of other people. They tend to kind of play into the hero role of life. But whenever mm-hmm. you're in the hero role, tragedies can occur to a hero, right? So the caregiver stress could really be up there as well. And taking time for yourself is extremely important. So even in my practice, 50% of what I do is life coaching. It's not even like medicine. 50% of what I do is have people read certain books, like Essentialism is a great freaking book, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And then Making and Breaking Habits and all sorts of different things. And a lot of that is from a life coaching aspect that's really missing in medicine. And that's actually missing in chronic conditions, especially chronic Lyme, mold, mast cell activation, chemical sensitivities, et cetera. So that's sort of my message for that world.
I love it, man. Gonna get to do like multiple mic drops tonight for you. For me, one of the most important pieces here is that yes, there, like even in my own healing journey, which at the time I didn't call it breath work, but and it's funny, I learned, this is so interesting. You know, I learn stuff all the time, right? Like I keep telling the story about how yoga taught me this and that, but I got into Ashtanga yoga. And the thing I always say was, my teacher, because most people think of this as where power yoga comes from, right? So physically and aggressive. And a lot of people who practice Ashtanga actually get hurt because they're very competitive with other people and with themselves. But one of the goals of this summit, not only to give people hope and inspire them and give them actionable things, but is also to have them stop comparing to others.
Yeah.
And one of my teachers said to me, hey, yoga is about breath on movement. And if you're in a movement and you're in a position, an asana, it's so deep that you can't fully take a deep breath and it can be free as if you were just laying in your bed, you're too far. And your breath is your litmus wow. test. And so, but then I said, oh, and this physical movement gave me flexibility and flushed out the toxins, all that good physical crap we know. Then my brain could calm down and I could actually start to do this meditation thing that you alluded to. But one of the things that I hadn't really, like I know, but I hadn't really thought about, and I really just want to point this out to people because I talk a lot about my story and all my work because it's mine and I know it the best, right? And I'm better now. But they do this thing called Ujjayi breathing or this triumphant breathing, which is a very specific type of breathing. But what's really cool about it is it's in through your nose, out through your nose. So when I practiced, literally what they said was when you start, it's an hour and a half practice, 6 days a week, you know, every, you know, except on the new and then except Saturday and on the new and the full moon. But it was like, if you could only do one sun salutation, then you just did the breathing for the rest of the hour and a half. So it was basically breath work that I didn't even know that I was getting tricked into. And I bet you half the healing was just from the nitric oxide and opening up my really crushed up airway at the time, which is now way better from a lot based on a lot of the things you said. So I just, it's very interesting that I had that little aha moment as we were talking, and I wanted to just kind of bookend this conversation a little bit because it hooks into so many other aspects of healing. And really the number one reason, Cheng, that I think people get better is they take back control. They accept that they're worthy to receive the healing. And the number one way they say that is they accept personal responsibility for doing it. And the breath is so sweet and it's so free and you've got it. And so, man, so honored to have you here and grateful that you bring this message of hope and healing. And again, like one of the things that I tell everybody is that we don't pre-script these things. Every once in a while, somebody sends me some ideas. You and I are just on the same wavelength with the anatomy, the physiology, the function, the biochemistry, but it's all innate within you. And yeah, you might need someone like Dr. Ron or myself or some of the other great speakers here, but this is in your hands and you can start doing this right away.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Keep it simple. It's got to keep it simple.
Right? Yeah. Keep it very simple and then reach out when you need help. And so I know that there's going to be a bunch of people who are super motivated and like, I want what this guy's offering. You know, both practitioners as well as patients. And as a reminder to everyone, we have the summit resource page. So all the links that Dr. Ron's going to share with you and the places to find him, we'll make sure we highlight so you don't have to write them down and freak out and rewind. It's all going to be there for you to just click on. But Cheng, where can people find out more about what you're doing and get even more inspired than they, I know they already are right now after this conversation?
Yeah, sure. So, so at Texas Center for Lifestyle Medicine, we actually have online resources, we have blogs, we even have online courses. My favorite one is the Mind Sculpting Master Workshop. That's everyone's favorite one, where we actually go through breath training with Jenny Moreno, my mind-body medicine coach. So that's TX, like Texas, TX, LifeMed, LIFEMED.org. Scroll down the middle of the page. We have actually courses for everything from cancer to diabetes to everything. If you're a healthcare professional, so I actually have an organization called PTI, Physician Transformation Institute, at physiciantransformationinstitute.com. So this is actually a organization to raise funds to end physician suicide and mental health issues. And so we actually have even online workshops. And we have a beautiful one that's donated by Health Luminary. Actually goes through all the breath techniques with Qigong and Tai Chi, fire breath, you name it. It was really, really awesome course to go through. It's not the easiest one, but it is very impactful. So it's at physiciantransformationinstitute.com. Also just follow me on social media. It's my name, Cheng Ron, MD, CHENGRUAN MD. Follow me on, I'm usually on Instagram more than anything else. Of course, health professionals find me on LinkedIn as well. I have a blog called Rebuilding Healthcare that I talk about all the aspects of healthcare that I think that can be rebuilt. And if you're a doctor who's in integrative medicine, especially with insurance or without it, my book can be found on Amazon. It's called The Doctor's Guide to Thriving Integrative Medicine, Secrets to Successful Practice Without Burnout. You can find it on Amazon. And so, yeah, I have tons of resources for everyone.
Nice, brother. I love it so much. And, you know, one of the things I'm so honored about is like so many people like yourself are coming here and sharing like the real story. And one of the things is like, we're like, hey, like, the patients are getting burnout here in functional medicine. You know, they're seeking functional medicine, they're seeking recovery. And that's one of our primary, you know, goals is to help patients get this incredible information. But the other part that a lot of people are talking about, practitioners are, it's also really important to take care of that practitioner. And yes. So for all the practitioners listening, you know, And I say this whenever we talk about these nonprofits, if you have the ability to support an organization that helps end something like physician suicide, clearly our system is busted. And if you can share some financial support, please do. The other thing is patients understand that doctors are people too, and they're experiencing this too. And many, many, many doctors, whether you know it or not, and even some of the ones, because I've had an experience like this, I've talked about in the past, where doctors are doing the best they can for their family, and it looks like they're not doing the best for you because of a bad situation within the medical system. The doctors are here for you primarily. And hey, if the person you're working with has kind of got their head up the rear end and they don't have extenuating circumstances, definitely be looking for somebody else. But understand that most of the people you meet, like myself and Dr. Ron, we are busting our butts because it's in our heart to help. And that's really so important. So since we're all sending love to you guys for your health and your healing, and for this new opportunity to reinvigorate your self-healing, and also just send some love to your providers. They're working hard, you know, and I don't even want to tell you what day of the week or time of the day it is right now when Dr. Ron has been so gracious to hop on this interview, but we do what we can because it's so important to us. So Cheng Ron, thanks so very much for being here and inspiring all of us. And thanks, bro.
Thanks, Dom. I really appreciate having my voice be heard. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And everyone in our community, please share all this information from the summit with those who could benefit from it. And thank you for spending your valuable time in your life with us so that you can learn all these new amazing things about breath and anatomy and nitric oxide and the like. So until next time, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Healing from Lyme Disease Summit. Lots of love, and here's to your healing.